excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Turning our way, and our way
on the road again. Welcome to this UCLA edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way from the Rose Bowl back to Disneyland. The family decided to combine this trip down to the UCLA game with our kids' first trip to Disneyland. So, I mean, at the worst, you know, you figured with how the Bears have been doing until now that at least we got a good trip to Disneyland out of it. But the Bears delivered, and all of us, both Bears fans new and old, have been on pins and needles for the last 2 weeks, hoping that the Bears could win this one. But there wasn't a lot of confidence, and when the Bears are up 38-26, everyone's freaking out. When in reality, that's a pretty solid margin of victory, or, you know, a margin to protect a lead. And if you look at it from the big picture, the Bears really did dominate today. In fact, minus that one long run play by UCLA, the Bears pretty much locked them down and didn't let them into the end zone, and made them use up a lot of clock getting down the field, which was particularly valuable once the Bears got ahead. That second half actually went pretty quick, all things considered. And the Bears only gave up six points in the second half. So that's really a win-win type of situation. And on offense, the Bears, while they had some struggles with the running game and getting it going at certain times, they provided very good balance, and UCLA was very determined to stop their Cal running game, even when they were getting burned through the air, and I think the Bears will gladly take those opportunities. So, a win in the Rose Bowl is never something to scoff at, minus the win in 1999, which was forfeited retrospectively because of the academic issues where there were two players on the team that shouldn't have been playing. The Bears haven't won there since 1993. I mean, that's a long time. And the Bears put out a pretty convincing win against a team that, in my opinion, is middle of the Pac-10. They're not great. I think really, if I had to, and this may be the glow of a win, but if I had to pick the order of teams, it's USC, Oregon, Cal. And probably Cal leapfrogs Oregon without their quarterback. They were on a bye this week, so we don't really know. But if Masoli is injured as badly as some fear, they really could fall down to be a middle of the Pac-10 team. I mean, I think the Bears more convincingly beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl than Oregon did with their backup quarterback. But, you know, all things being equal, I think it goes USC, Oregon, Cal, and then the rest of the conference. So we've got WSU at home, and we've got Arizona State on the road. I think they are definitely pretenders, and while the Bears need to go in there pumped and ready to win, I think that's a very winnable game. And then Arizona and Oregon State at home, two very winnable games that the Bears, be getting back on the right track, I think likely will win. And then Stanford on the road, and that actually might just be the toughest game left on the schedule. I have a hard time really gauging Stanford, other than I feel like they are pretty darn good at home. They're a little harder to gauge on the road. I mean, so this is a team that really could win out the rest of the season, and dare I say it, if certain chips fall certain ways, could still have a shot at that elusive Rose Bowl. And I don't think that's going to happen. I really think USC is probably going to cruise to their Rose Bowl, and at worst, will lose one more and beat out Cal in a tiebreaker. So the scenario the Bears really need is for whoever beats USC to be a two-loss team themselves and for Cal to beat them. So a scenario would be if Cal can beat Washington, I think this is one of these moments where I wish I had, you know, stat books and stuff in front of me. But assuming Washington only has one loss in the conference right now, if they were to lose to Cal, being their second loss, but win out the rest of the season, and then USC were to lose to somebody else, you know, pick a team, probably anybody but Oregon, and then you're in a tiebreaker scenario where it's not head-to-head. So, in any case, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, so I'm really saying that's not going to happen. But the point being, it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility, and the Bears shouldn't start thinking that way, but a two-loss team can very easily go to the Rose Bowl, and I think Cal can win every one of their remaining games if they continue to play like they did today and like they have earlier in the season. But before we even go down those roads, let's take a step back and talk about this game. Quick recap of the game. Bears received the ball to start the game and took it all the way down the field for a touchdown on a Vereen run from 42 yards out, and for the most part never looked back. UCLA, particularly in the first half, threatened to get back in it a number of times. They had two touchdowns to get back in the game, but Cal continued to score again, including a pass to Best down the sideline that went for a touchdown, and two passes to Marvin Jones for a touchdown. And the Bears were leading 35-17 with 46 seconds left in the half. The Bears then went into a very lax prevent defense and gave up a final field goal in those 46 seconds to make the halftime score 35-20. In the second half, the Bears and UCLA traded field goals in the third quarter to set up a 38-26 score going into the fourth. The Bear defense held pretty well through the fourth quarter and then unleashed the game-sealing touchdown on an interception for a touchdown by linebacker Michael Kendricks for the final score of 45-26. Riley was 14 of 23 for 205 yards and three touchdowns. Vereen led the way on 17 carries for 154 yards and one touchdown. Best ran for 102 yards on 18 carries, including a 93-yard touchdown run. For the receivers, Marvin Jones had the best day with four catches and two touchdowns for somewhere in the order of 88 yards, if I'm remembering correctly. And the Bears won the turnover battle with one fumble recovered and one interception. The first thing I want to point out is it was hot today. It was 100 degrees at kickoff. I think we had a hard time believing that because of all the rain we've had, but I was sweltering down there. I always take pictures before the game of all the stadium and everything. I've now got 8 of the 10 well photographed that eventually I'm going to put together a nice montage on the website about. But I was sweating like a pig going up and down those steps trying to take pictures from all the necessary corners to get good shots. And then during the game, the press box windows were open, and it was hot. It was very hot. And then after the game, again, very hot. So one of the things I think really won this game for the Bears was their depth. They had players who could competently step in as backups and spell the starters. And there were whole series where the defensive line were the backups. And the wide receivers, and Boateng got a lot more playing time today because they needed to mix everything up. And Tedford specifically talked about Shane Vereen and how valuable he was, and I'll come back to him. But we saw that on the offensive line, they were mixing people through. I mean, across the team, tons of people played today that in 70-degree weather wouldn't have played. And I didn't get the feeling that UCLA was nearly as capable of that. I wasn't watching who they were playing as much, but I really think that the Bears' depth helped them a lot today in the heat. It was a big factor of why the Bears continued to be able to manhandle UCLA. Of course, another big factor was Riley. Riley was back on the mark. He had a few series where he started getting his high throw-itis, whatever we want to call it, and that was really hurting him. But for the most part, he was doing the right things. And what I was particularly happy about was seeing some broken plays where he was throwing a ball to a spot where it wasn't a high percentage completion, but he knew it was his guy or an incomplete. There wasn't going to be an interception. There was one with Boateng where he was rolling out, didn't have much there, and Boateng busted up field, and he threw it up over the defender, and Boateng didn't catch it, but it was in a spot that at least, you know, with all of the precision variables that you can hope for, was a spot that could have been caught and, you know, would have extended the drive. He ended up having to punt, but it was an example of him playing well. And there were other instances. I mean, even that ball that popped straight up and eventually hit the ground seemingly 10 seconds later, he was throwing it to a spot where his player was one of the only guys who was going to get to that ball, and the hit that he took made it him throw it more errantly than he hoped, but it still was a place that no UCLA defender could converge upon, even though it was up in the air forever. So it's just good examples of how he was being very smart with the ball. He was finding the right reads. He was rolling out well. He was throwing well on the run, something I think that's going to be increasingly important as the season continues, is his ability to throw on the run, because teams are going to continue to bring more and more pressure into the box, and he needs to be able to escape that pressure and make the completions after that. He was also making good decisions on when to run for it to get some extra yards. UCLA was not expecting that. So really, Riley had a very good game for him. It wasn't exceptional, but it was a good, solid, intelligent performance. And performances like that will continue to win the Bears football games. Going to the running backs, Best had a pretty darn mediocre day. Yeah, he had the one run, that's the ESPN reel type of thing that everybody loves to see. And it's interesting to see how he busted that out after he looked a step slow all day. But, I mean, it is what it is. The rest of the day, he did very poorly. So his end stats were 102 net yards rushing. That was 134 positive rushing yards and 32 negative rushing yards. That's a lot of negative rushing yards, because that means you had, and I didn't get the play count, but you had something like 6-8 plays where you lost, you know, 5-plus yards. And that piles up. And those really are drive killers. One of the key to the rushing game is that it needs to be at least 2 yards, hopefully 4. There needs to be that kind of consistency that you're not losing chunks of yardage, because it's worse than an incompletion then. And so Best was not being very consistent at getting yards like you need to get. So yeah, he has the 93-yard run, which turns out to be all but 9 of his other rushing yards. So just really a pretty mediocre performance. Now, he had cramping issues. For those who are following closely, he was out about half the third quarter, still recovering in the locker room, drinking fluids, eating fruit, and then he came back in. But I don't think he was even 100% after that. So it was really not his best day, which isn't even necessarily a criticism of Best. But who was very exceptional was Vereen. Vereen had a wonderful day. Not only did he have 154 net yards, he only had 4 negative yards. So in all of his plays, he probably had 2 plays where he had, you know, 2 yards lost each time. And on 17 runs, that's pretty good. It's not stellar, but it's pretty good. So he really had that kind of consistency. His longest run was 42 yards. So he wasn't piling it all up in one big run and having a lot of more disappointing runs. And I'm curious how much of that is how well he's running. And I don't want to take anything away from him, so I feel hesitant even going down this line of thinking. Or whether some of it is the fact that he is not garnering the attention that Best is garnering. And so they're not loading the box the way they are with Best. and they're not, you know, diving on the line of scrimmage like they are with Best. And that's something that only a very careful review of the film will discover. But maybe Vereen's actually running better than Best, and I'm just having a hard time accepting that fact. So we shall see what comes of this. So it's just a pet theory. It's nothing that I'm trying to, you know, push as some guaranteed to be true, meaningful thing. Vereen's running really well, and whether that little factor's there is almost irrelevant. You put the best people in there and you let them play. But overall, kudos for Vereen for a great day. He deserves it. He's a hard-working back. He's very good. He'd be starting at most programs, and he deserves all the credit in the world. On the defensive side of the ball, again, it was great to see how they were mixing in players. Sid got hurt pretty early in that game and was pretty much a non-factor. And he's the lockdown corner that we have. I mean, he's really the only corner that we can 100% count on is always going to be there when we need him. And guess what? He wasn't there at all. You know, no fault of his own. He was injured. So now we're falling back on Hagen and Conti and Josh Hill and Nabufi to come in and pick up that slack. And none of them have been proven themselves to really be a standout. But they all filled in pretty admirably today and did a good job. Nabufi, who's very young, I believe he's a redshirt freshman if my memory serves right, got specific mention by Gregory after the game on doing a very good job. So they all did a great job of filling in and doing their part. And really, UCLA never really got the ball going over the top. They had a hard time passing deep. They got some underneath stuff, but nothing substantial. And again, minus that one run play where really it was the safeties who over-pursued and let that play get behind them, and that should have been a 5 to 10 yard gain, and instead it was a 70-yard touchdown. But other than that, the Bears really had a great defensive effort, in my opinion, with holding lots of field goals, and that's really good news. I mean, that's the type of thing where your defense really earns its stripes, particularly when they're ahead. When it's early in the game or you're trailing, letting a team march all the way down the field and holding them to a field goal is not that great of an accomplishment. You've given up time. You've given up more points. It's not something to be proud of. But when your goal is to protect a lead, letting them kind of slowly march down the field, grind out 5-6 minutes a clock, and then only get 3 points when they're down by 15 to 20 is a win for the defense. And sometimes we forget to take context into account when we're judging a defensive performance. And I thought they did great today. I was very happy with the defense. Special teams. Brian Anger started really slow, and I think something clicked in him that was like, I need to get things going again. Because after that, boy, was he on fire. He was back to his old self. It'd be nice to see a little bit more air under his punts. He was a little bit out-kicking his coverage, but not horribly so. And 72 yards. I mean, after his first 2 punts, which were both sub-40, to then get up to a 50-yard average on 7 punts is very impressive. It's not easy to do. It requires a lot of long punts. He really did an exceptional job as the game wore on. So great to see. A little bit of coverage issues there, and Anger was a little bit out-kicking his coverage, but they did pretty well. Kickoffs, similarly, got better as the game went on, and D'Amato, who got hurt, had a shoulder injury of some sort with one of his needed tackles on our poor kickoff coverage. Luckily, none of them went for touchdowns. He should really be worried about his job now, particularly the kickoff job, because Tavecchio was delivering on the promise that he was showing in fall practice and spring practice. He was kicking the ball well inside the 5-yard line with a fair amount of air underneath it and something to be pretty happy about. So we'll see what comes of that, but I'm really optimistic that maybe finally Tavecchio's getting back on his game, and we'll see him doing kickoffs again. On that angle, you really have to give it to UCLA's place kicker. Boy, was he good. I mean, he was nailing those field goals left and right. None of them were even mildly in question. The long ones were plenty long. I think he could kick a 60-yarder easily. And his kickoffs were wonderful. I mean, really, we want somebody like that, and it's frustrating that the Bears haven't been able to get a kicker like that in a little while now. But overall, I think this was a great effort by the team. I think Tedford did a very good job of motivating his players. They had the right attitude. This is a new season was the message they were given. Let's win the rest of our games. And every new game, it's a new opportunity to go out and win. And they really took this bye week to heart and focused and got better. And I hope they continue on that. But, you know, I think this is a great moment for us to remember that we assume that things are going to continue to go poorly when we start talking about things like, oh, maybe it's time to consider sending Tedford on his way or stuff like that. But you have to let the season play out. Okay, it's one thing when after the season you say, boy, 4-8 or whatever the disaster scenario is. You know, how horrible is that? And I'm not quite as confident as Jason that I'd still feel good about Tedford after a 4-8 season. I do agree he deserves a season like that at some point and without too much criticism. It's a little close to 2007 in my mind, but we're assuming that's what was going to happen when we have no real knowledge. Nobody has any real knowledge of what's going to happen. Yeah, we can make our projections and all of that, but they're exactly that. They're projections. So now we win this game, everyone's back on high again, and Tedford's doing all the right things, motivating his players, and we can't be that over-emotional about it as fans. I know it's easy to, but we really need to take a step back, let the season play out, let him work with his players, not make anything worse. I mean, these players do read our blogs and our websites and our commentary, and it does get under their skin, so we're only making their job harder. And if at the end of the season, then we need to start talking about whether we need to consider other options, then we do that. But let's not jump the gun. You know, maybe it's too early to get positive about Tedford again. I don't know, but let's let it play out. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. And right now, I mean, call it the glow of a win on the road. I've gone to 5 games in a row before now where I've witnessed a loss, and it's really nice to be there. The other guys from like the Daily Cal and the other Cal websites you have to be under the table. You can't be visibly very excited because it is the press box, but we were all, you know, pumping each other's hands under the table and stuff like that. So, you know, it was fun. It was nice to see. I'm sure the Bears fans who came down for this, they are glad they were there. Something to remember for all of us who sometimes say, I'm not going to take this trip and see another loss. Well, guess what? If you didn't come, you missed the victory that for years people will kind of talk about. Oh, yeah, I remember they ended the big streak in the Rose Bowl in 2009. And, you know, that's part of the reason to keep showing up. And I really think this team, the great news is WSU in front of us allows us, we still have to really, you know, play and go with effort. They're not as much of a pushover as they were last year, but it's another week to build up confidence so that when they go down to Arizona State, a little bit of adversity isn't going to instantly send them reeling. They'll have the internal fortitude to move forward with that, and I think ASU is very suspect. That's a very winnable game. Then 2 big home games that I'm looking forward to against 2 teams that definitely could beat the Bears, but I think the Bears, if they play well, should win. And then the big game, which is the big game. You just can't make predictions, can you? So, I think that's going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Yes, it takes this long to drive from the Rose Bowl to Disneyland. It is Southern California, after all. We're not even halfway there, I don't think. But you can expect, hopefully, Jason and I can get together for another, excuse me for my voice, podcast this week. There won't be a BearTerritory.net podcast this week. I won't be back in town in time for the press conference. But the good news is this isn't the end of the podcast. We've also got quotes from Kevin Riley and Jeff Tedford. Unfortunately, I don't have quotes from the rest of everyone because the battery on my audio recorder died mid-Tedford's interview. So two will have to suffice for this On the Road Home podcast. But I hope you enjoy them, and thank you for listening. On the road
again. Yeah, there's no question that felt like Kevin was really sharp, put the ball in places where guys could make plays on him, and Marvin especially, you know, made some big plays in the passing game, and I thought Kevin, you know, played within himself all day, did a nice job, didn't turn the football over, and you know, so obviously when you can make the long play in the pass game like we did a couple times, it's critical to success. You know, the pros obviously are, you know, that it was a team effort. You know, we made a lot of plays on both sides of the ball, played really well together. I was really pleased. That was a main focus going into this game in preparation for the last 2 weeks, is we need to stick together. You know, as naysayers and critics step up, the people in that locker room are the ones who believe in each other. And coming into this game, I thought we did a nice job of believing in each other, playing hard for each other. And, you know, I was pleased with the way the guys hung in there, just kept battling. You know, they came back, they were answering and making some plays of their own. But no one ever panicked. Everybody just hung in there and kept playing hard. Yeah, we did. We played some different players at times, played some guys in the offensive line, rotation in the D-line, had to sub some guys in at the receiver position. You know, just to make sure we tried to keep people fresh. Shane was getting a little worn down. Java was hurt at halftime and wasn't there for the first series or two. And, you know, Shane was getting worn down because we made some big plays right then, but it was great to see Java come back. But, yeah, it was important that we try to keep people fresh. It's pretty warm today. Sid got hurt. He got hurt early in the game. Got a hip pointer, I think, in the first series. Came back, played for the rest of the half, and then at halftime it stiffened up so much he couldn't play in the second half. You know, it's not personal at all. It's for the program. It's for the people before us. It's for this year's team. You know, it's a great feat for this year's team. And, you know, all the going into this, you know, wasn't for our guys. It wasn't about what's happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. It's this year, this today. The opportunity that we had to play together between those lines out there. That was the main focus. And so it's not personal for me. It's great for our program. It's great for our university. Great for our players and staff. Just to make sure, you know, all week long, the last 2 weeks, we've really been really focused on, like I said, being together. We'll talk about first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and owning the fourth quarter. And the message was right then, now it's the fourth quarter, now we need to own it. And, you know, same deal, play together, have each other's back the whole way. Shane was big. Shane made play after play. You know, he made, you know, and when Sid went out, you know, he's our punt returner. Shane had to return punts. He returned kickoffs. Played a lot at the tailback position, caught the ball coming out of the backfield, ran the ball well. He left it all on the field today. Shane did a great job today. Well, I think it was just one drive. You know, the whole thing was, you know, the ebbs and flow of games that go along is, you know, you can't get too high after one drive. But obviously to go down and put points on the board was nice way to open the game. But there was still a lot of football left, so no one was too giddy about it. Everybody was business as usual. Really well. I thought he kicked the ball off nicely. We didn't have any field goal. I don't know that he kicked any field goals. I think it was all extra points. Did Giorgio kick it?
Yeah, 35-38. Yeah.
So, but no, he did a good job. You know, Shane had some big runs as well. And you know, with those two going back and forth, you know, I still think he rushed the ball. We had 200 yard rushers right in the game, right? So. You know, I'm not going to complain about that. Sure, we can get better at certain things, you know, blocking, job and seeing the holes, all those type of things, you know, but the run that he made, the long touchdown run, was about as good as it gets. And Kevin Riley's block on that was awesome as well. I don't know if anybody saw that. If you didn't, he probably told you that. It felt great. It felt great for a lot of reasons. It was warm out there. It's absolutely comparable. I mean, we've been very fortunate here to have a tandem of running backs, dating back to J.J. and Marshawn, and Marshawn and Justin, and Justin and Javid, and Javid and Shane. You know, so we've been very fortunate to be in that situation to have a tandem of running backs, and Coach Kuhl does a great job of coaching them and using them when he needs to use them. And, both those kids are such quality kids. They support each other. They love each other. You know, they're just a pleasure to coach. On the road
again. It feels good. I mean, right from the get-go after that, the second touchdown, I mean, you can see our offense just kind of go back to what we did the first, like, three games. And that's what we were waiting for. People weren't pressing ourselves. Like we said, that bye week was a good time for us because we just got to concentrate on ourselves and work on some things. And, worked on team aspect a lot, and I think everybody kind of pushed each other a lot, and it worked out real well today. Good to have a touchdown. It's been a while, no. I mean, it's just, and it's not like I forgot how to do it, or I didn't have confidence I could do it. And it's been making plays, and just, you know, made more plays today. And like I said, I said once we get one, we'll keep on going with it. And UCLA has a good defense, and I think that's one thing that people think that. And we scored 35 points on one of the better defenses in Pac-10 today in the first half, and we got to continue to improve on that. Yeah, absolutely. Good play calls. That run with Shane, there's nobody out there, and he made a good play to run the ball. We got a couple good run plays in that first drive, and just the first down on that first third down. We haven't given any third downs in like plus five situations lately, and so it's good to get that. I think that kind of calmed people down and went from there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this kind of started off the game, and I was seeing things real well today. And what they were doing on defense. We have good games where we can see better than others, and today was one of them. Skull and crossbones. No, we got this thing where you get a cut block, you get a little skull and crossbones thing on your binder. So I might be the first QB for Coach Ludwig to get one, and he'll judge it. So hoping to get one. But I just saw, Job. I was just kind of just jogging with him, and I saw him start to cut back a little bit. So I tried to, I was getting away with anybody, and was just hoping I wouldn't get the guy from behind. I got him in front of them, and Javid finished off a great play. And it's a great feeling. That's a pre-snap look there, one high, and I knew Marv would have a one-on-one with a veteran player, but Marv had a high advantage, and Marv does a good job of getting those balls up and holding on to them. And so I trusted him, and I gave him the option to make a play, so he did. Like we talked about, it's a new season now since the bye week, and it's just one game. We have six more in Pac-10, and hopefully just continue to practice hard, get better every week. Making plays. Talked about, people just doing their job and not other things, and people did their jobs, and just worked out. It's pretty hot. I mean, when you first walk out there, you're like, oh, it's hot. But then when it kind of just, it makes you loose, and it was comfortable out there. It wasn't too bad. I don't know exactly, but I heard he kind of wanted to keep the O-line fresh in the second half. So I don't know for sure.